Well, you try to forget those things when you get to this age. Thank you. Thank you. I hope that you have been reading the inserts in your bulletin over these last 6 weeks. Lots of good information on those inserts. If you've missed any of them, you can find them in the back, in the lobby at the Welcome Center. And I would encourage you to pick those up, read them, and learn from them. If you're one who has never made a decision for Jesus in Christian baptism, hopefully what you've been reading on those inserts will help you come to that decision for Christ. If you're one who has already made that decision in your life, then maybe this teaching will be helpful to you to be able to share with somebody else, to be a witness to others about Christian baptism. Now, one thing that I hope that you have picked up in these readings and what has been said from the pulpit would be simply this, that there's so much more to it than just getting baptized. There's faith, and I want you to hear me say this, baptism without faith is useless. Let that sink in. Baptism without faith is useless. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 says that, for by grace are we saved through what? Through faith. It does not say, for by grace you have been saved through baptism. It says, for by grace we have been saved through faith. Faith in Jesus Christ as God's Son, as the resurrected Lord. Hear me say this too. Baptism without repentance is worth a big zero. Baptism without repentance is worth a big zero. We must be sorry for our sins. We need to confess our sins to Jesus. We don't have to confess our sins to the preacher or to the priest, but we do need to confess our sins to Jesus. Acts 3:19 says, repent therefore and return that your sins may be wiped away in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Repentance is a necessary step towards coming to Christ. I'll say it again. Baptism without repentance is about worth that much, a zero. And I know we have emphasized baptism a lot over the last few weeks. And part of that is because baptism oftentimes is the point at where people get hung up. I understand that because I know the battle that is going on. Satan does not want people to be baptized. And you look at what Scripture says about baptism, you can see why he would not want people to be baptized. Galatians 3:27 says that as one is baptized into Christ, he is clothed with Christ. Satan doesn't want that. Satan doesn't want you clothed with Christ, and so he's going to fight to keep you from being baptized. According to Acts 2:38, as a person repents and is baptized in the name of Christ, they are forgiven for their sins, and the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to them. Satan doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you to be forgiven of your sins. He doesn't want the Holy Spirit to be a part of your life. And so he's going to fight you on this issue of baptism. Acts 22:16 says that our baptism is a washing away of sin. Romans 6:3 and 4 says that our baptism is a burial of the old man and a resurrection to new life. Satan doesn't want that for you. He doesn't want you washed. He doesn't want you buried with Christ and raised up to live a new life, and so he's going to fight against you submitting to Christ in Christian baptism. Thank God there have been some folks over the last couple of weeks who have not cared what Satan thinks, and they have submitted to Jesus in Christian baptism. Next week, there are going to be a couple of more at least. I hope there will be even more than that. I want to encourage you, if you sense the Holy Spirit moving in your heart in this decision about baptism, submit to Him. Give in to Him. Say yes to Jesus and experience the miracle of being born again. Nicodemus asked Jesus, "How can a man be born again when he is old? He cannot enter into a second time his mother's womb, can he?" Jesus said to him, "Unless one is born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Next week, the insert in your bulletin will be talking about what happens after baptism. And there is so much more that happens after baptism. We need to live a life of faithfulness to Jesus. If all He asked us to do was to be baptized into Him, why, that would be easy. But there's much, much more to it than that. We are to be faithful to Him until the day that we die. Just like there's a lot more living with our spouse after the marriage ceremony, so too there's a lot more living for Jesus after the baptism. Jesus said, "Be faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life." We're in Matthew 7 today. And actually, this is the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and I was looking back over the weeks past. We have spent 15 weeks in the Sermon on the Mount, looking at this great sermon that Jesus preached. And how He ends His sermon is quite convicting. I want to read to you from Matthew chapter 7, beginning with verse 21 through 27. Jesus is saying this: "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And Jesus will say to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them will be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it did not fall because it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be compared to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it fell. And great was its fall." And so concludes Jesus with His Sermon on the Mount, with those words. I'm going to invite my good friend Lance Dirks to come up here, and he's going to give to you an object lesson on this particular text. Now, if you were at Vacation Bible School this summer and you were outside, Lance gave this particular object lesson to the kids on this very text. And as I sat there and listened with the kids, seeing what he said to them, I planted it in my mind, saying, when I get to Matthew chapter 7, the end of that chapter, I'm going to have him up here and give that object lesson to everyone, because it illustrates for us what Jesus was saying. Pay close attention.
his house upon the rock. Wise man built his house upon the rock. The rains came tumbling down. Rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the rock stood firm. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. Foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. It came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The house on the rock sand went flat. Amen.
I think Jesus taught on a third grade level to get these stories in our minds of what this was really all about. And I think Kevin a lot of times preaches to us kind of on that level, because that way nobody will err. Nobody will go to hell and say, I didn't hear it. Nobody told me. So this may be the third grade level. But thank God for simple teaching.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, that is exactly what Jesus was teaching in his sermon. And I want to be the fellow who builds his house on the rock, don't you? I want that stability in my life. I want that security. And it will be that way if we are that person who hears the Word of God and then does what it says. It's so easy, though, to let the Word of God go in one ear and out the other. It's easy to say, Lord, Lord, and then not do what he says, not to not let him be Lord. And I'm sure that all of us find ourselves in that kind of boat at times. The Word of God says in Mark chapter 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And we say, Lord, Lord, I do believe. I just don't feel like I need to be baptized, Lord. You know what the irony of that? I mean, we're calling him Lord, and yet we're not letting him be our Lord. We say, I know that your word says devote yourselves to prayer, but Lord, I'd like to do that, but I don't have time for prayer, Lord. The word says, forgive each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And we say, Lord, 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 you don't understand what he has done to me. You don't understand how bad I've been treated. Forgiveness? That is out of the question, Lord. We call him Lord, but we don't let him be Lord. And that is like building our house on the sand. And we've just seen a wonderful illustration of what happens when we build our house on the sand. That house is going to collapse. It's going to fall flat. And I don't think any of us want to be that kind of house. And the same amount of water that was used and washed out the sand was used against the house that was built on the rock. And that house stood firm. It held up underneath the storm. And that is exactly what Jesus said in his sermon. Therefore, everyone who hears these words and acts upon them will be like a man who built his house upon the rock, a wise man. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house, and it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. Could I just for a few moments tear those verses apart and share with you some of the components of those verses? First of all, we have to hear the word. Our ears have to be open to the word of God. Do you remember the phrase that Jesus used multiple times in his preaching about ears and hearing? What did he say? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Cindy has a story that she likes to tell on me, but she isn't here today. And so I'm going to tell you my version of the story. Okay? She's in Colombia. We just had a new grandbaby, and I happen to have a picture of our new grandbaby. That's where Cindy's at today, and it's been a good week for us in that way. But if she were here, she'd tell you her version to this story, but she's not here. And this happened a number of years ago. I was down the hallway from her, quite a distance. She was trying to get my attention. She was saying, "Kevin, Kevin." She called my name several times. I know that because she told me she was later calling my name. I didn't hear her. And our friend Betsy, she was standing right next to Cindy, and she was seeing all of this happen. She was seeing that I wasn't answering her voice. And so Betsy said, "Kevin." And I immediately looked. I heard Betsy's voice, but I didn't hear Cindy's voice. And I have never lived that story down. You know, as Cindy tells the story, she emphasizes my selective hearing. And I didn't hear her voice. I did hear Betsy's voice. And my side of the story is Betsy's voice is a whole lot louder than Cindy's voice. But you know what I have found through the years? No matter what I say, I can't win that argument. Because in Cindy's mind, I just didn't hear her voice. We need to hear his voice. And he doesn't always speak in a loud voice like Betsy. Maybe you recall the story from 1 Kings 19 where Elijah, the prophet, was running from Jezebel and he ended up at Mount Horeb. Now, you may be more familiar with the name Mount Sinai. That's the mountain that Elijah was on. And it's called in Scripture the Mountain of God. And for good reason. It was on this same mountain that Moses received his call from God in the burning bush. That was on Mount Sinai. And it was on this same mountain that Moses received from God the Ten Commandments, Mount Sinai. This mountain was a very special place. It was a holy place. And here in 1 Kings 19, Elijah is on this same mountain, and he is about to hear the voice of God. Now, Elijah's probably of the same mind as what I would be in thinking the voice of God, well, surely it's going to be a thundering voice. It's going to be a loud voice. And it will be so distinct that there will be no doubt. And so as you read through that scripture, there was this wild wind. I mean, it was crazy. It was a strong wind. The NIV says the wind tore the mountains apart and shattered the rocks. And I'm sure Elijah was thinking, in this strong wind, that's where I'm going to hear the voice of God. And it wasn't. God's voice was not in the strong wind. You keep on reading in the text, next there was an earthquake. There was a shaking of the mountain. But God's voice was not in the earthquake. And after that, there was a fire, the scripture says. But God's voice was not in the fire. Do you remember what God's voice was in? A still, small voice. The King James Version says. The New American Standard Bible calls it a gentle blowing. The NIV calls it a gentle whisper. One has to have ears to hear a gentle whisper. And I want to ask you, do you have ears to hear a gentle whisper from God? Can you hear His voice above the chaos of the world? Can you hear His voice above the blaring music of Nashville? Can you hear His voice above the bellowing voice of Hollywood? Can you hear His voice amidst all the sound of the crowd? We need to hear His voice, because if we're listening to these other voices, most of the time those other voices are going to lead us astray. We have to hear the gentle whisper of God in our ears, and to do so, we have to have ears that will hear. We ought to be praying, God, give me ears to hear. We ought to be saying with the boy Samuel, Lord, speak, for thy servant is what? Listening. We need to hear God's voice. And know this, He will never tell you to do something that is contrary to what is in this book. He will never lead you astray from His word. It will always be in accordance with this book. We need to have ears to hear. But there's a second part to Jesus' sermon there as He concludes it, and I want to hit on that. It's the doing part. We have to do the word. Not just hear the word. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Last week, as I passed by someone, the Lord spoke to me in a gentle, quiet voice. I didn't hear a verbal voice, but I knew what He was saying to me. He said, speak to that person, say something to them about being baptized on September 30th. I knew they had not been baptized. And so I stopped. I heard His voice. I listened and I obeyed. I put my arm around that young man and I said, hey, you ought to think about being baptized September 30th. That's all I said. It was a timely word, and I left it at that, for God to use that as He willed. You see, if I had not said something to him, it would have been a missed opportunity. The doing part needs to be a follow-up to the hearing part. I want to tell you a couple of things that happened to me just in the last couple of days at the hospital. As our daughter-in-law Chauncey had this little baby, she had to have it by C-section, so she was in there from Thursday morning until yesterday afternoon. And so we've had Thursday from 1 o'clock until yesterday, Saturday, after lunch, just in the hospital, a lot of hospital time. And when we arrived on Thursday, she was feeding the baby. And so, you know, I couldn't go in the room. And I'm looking for a chair to sit in. And the only chairs that I can find were in the ICU waiting room. And there weren't very many people in there, so I didn't think that it was a big deal for me to go into the ICU waiting room and sit until it was time that we could go into Chauncey's room. And I sat there, and I began to hear across the hall or across the room this fellow witnessing to a lady. I mean, he was witnessing to her. And I thought, that's great. That must be the hospital chaplain witnessing to her. I couldn't see them. They were around the corner. But I thought the hospital chaplain's over there witnessing to her. She walked out of the room after they'd finished talking. And then this fellow gets up, walks around the corner, and finds his chair where he had, I guess, been sitting earlier. And he was not dressed like what I thought a hospital chaplain would look like. He had overalls on and just down to earth. But he was not the hospital chaplain, I didn't think, at that point. And so time passed, and it's time for us to go into Chauncey's room. And I walked right past this guy, and the Lord said, you ought to say something to him. And so I did. I stopped and I said, hey, were you the guy witnessing to that lady over there a little bit ago? And he got a big smile on his face. Yeah, yeah. I said, God bless you. I said, I'm a pastor. What are you in here for? He said, my wife just had a heart attack. And there was nobody with him. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I said, can I pray with you? And he said, yeah. And I took his hand and I prayed for a brother. I didn't even know his name. And I prayed for him to have strength, and I prayed for his wife. And when I said amen, tears were running down his face. And I knew that God had used me because I listened to him to say something to a brother. The next day, I'm in the bathroom, standing at the sink, washing my hands, and there's another fella at the sink right next to me washing his hands, and I'm looking at him, gonna say hi to him if he'll just look at me. He just had his head down washing his hands. And I said, you know, the Lord's, I'm feeling like God's wanting me to say something to him. And I said, hey, how's it going? He said, I'm just trying to make it day by day. I said, what's going on? He said, my wife has been in here for 2 months. She's on life support. Her kidney shut down. It all started with a gallbladder surgery, and I'm just trying to make it day by day. I said, I'm sorry. So he asked me what I was in there for, and I said, well,
just the opposite. We've just had a grandbaby born, and he congratulated me, and we walked out together into the hallway, and he's still speaking to me, saying, ask him. I said, sir, are you a believer in Jesus? He said, I sure am. He said, I was just reading Psalms 31 to my wife this morning. And I said, can I pray with you? He said, you sure can. He's by himself. There's nobody there with him. I grabbed his hand and we prayed together and then we cried together. I'm just thinking, if we'll have ears to hear and then have the follow-up, to have the willingness to do what the Holy Spirit leads us to do, good things will happen. We'll be an encourager to someone. Maybe we'll be a witness to someone to the glory of God. Maybe we'll lead them to Jesus. Lead them closer to Jesus. He's wanting to speak to you. He's wanting to direct you. And sometimes we'll hear him just straight from Scripture as he has a command for us to obey. Sometimes there's a principle there that we need to give heed to. Sometimes we'll hear his voice through the preacher who's preaching a sermon that's based on the Word of God. Sometimes we'll hear him in the bathroom as we're standing next to the sink or at the sink next to someone. And he wants us just to speak a word to them. I'm wondering, will I have ears to hear and obey? Without the doing, the hearing is useless. Without the doing, the hearing is useless. Jesus said this in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Let me read to you James chapter 1. Verses 22 through 25. But prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who's looked at his natural face in a mirror and then goes away. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does. You want to be blessed by God? Then seek to be a doer of God's word. Now, thank God we're not saved by our doing. You hear me say that? We are not saved by our doing. We could never do enough. Jesus has done it all for us on the cross. But he does expect for us to obey his word to the best that we can. He's the Lord of all. And our obedience to him is one way that we can give honor to him and worship him. And so as we close today, let's just pray together. Let's bow our heads and pray. And would you pray this prayer? Lord, help me to hear your voice. Help me to have ears to hear. And help me to do. Help me to obey. And that, Lord, is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together, please.
righteous proclaim. Jesus is here. Let me welcome you now. Draw us near. By your Spirit within, we come to enter in, to glorify and bless your worthy name. Enter in, glorify you through me. Cry out loud, as the Lamb we lift our voice. For your majesty, for he's belonged to you, O Lord, throughout eternity. We behold now your face in wonder and awe. We thank you, O Lord, holy and true. Spirit within, we come to enter in, to glorify and bless your worthy name. We enter in, glory to your name, we cry out loud. Worthy is the Lamb, we lift our voice. Praise and majesty, for ye's belong to you, O Lord, throughout eternity. Be seated, please.
We have Terry Sibley here this morning with us, who would like to place her membership with us. She's a baptized believer at a young age, and she would like to place her membership here to be a part of this congregation. So I'll just ask again, do you believe that Jesus is Christ?
Yes, sir.
And have you accepted as your personal Savior?
Yes, sir.
Great. Give her a hand.
I want to add to your prayer list, Buster Rogers. He was taken to the hospital last night, possible stroke. We're still waiting on additional information, but if you'd be praying for him and the family, we are excited about that, your decision to join us. And we look forward to many more decisions over the next week, so we want to pray about our decision on Baptism Sunday, too. So let's pray now. Holy God, we are so thankful that you love us and that you've provided an opportunity for us to have a relationship with you, to have our sins forgiven, to be able to stand before you clean, free from all those sins that we have committed. We so easily can be burdened down by those, but we are thankful that you will forgive us if we ask. Lord, we ask that you would be with those who need to make a decision for you, whether that's like this morning, placing membership and saying, I want to be a part of this church, or a commitment to you as Lord. I pray that you would work in each heart and really convict each person that needs to make a decision. Lord, we lift up these names in our bulletin, and there's so many that we know that are going through a lot of challenges in their life. We ask that you'd be with Buster, and we just pray that you would care for him through this, and be with the medical team that is caring for him. We ask that you would be with each and every person who would love to be here today, but for different reasons just really can't. Help us to be your light, to be your hands and feet to those people. So in Jesus we pray. Amen. So continue to be praying for our decision Sunday this next week. Want to encourage you to be here, to plan to stay through the afternoon. It does say in the bulletin that meat and drinks are provided. You're asked to bring a side dish. Can I define that for you? Lots and lots of dessert. Dessert. I like dessert. Okay. Some people might like vegetables, but I like dessert. Okay. So if you want specific orders, I can give that to you later. Lots of fun. Plan to be here. Next Sunday, Elijah said we're calling that our family Sunday, and so we want to encourage families to be together, and that means there won't be a children's church next Sunday morning along with that. And so just shortly after today's worship, I want to remind all the leaders, we have just a quick meeting. We have to discuss something, so head to our normal meeting spot, and we'll review that. Thank you all for being here. Yes, there is a sign-up list out there, and there's some information here in the bulletin. In October, about a month away now, we're going to be doing some work at Lawrence's house, Lawrence Greer. And we've tried this before, and for a lot of different things, have keep postponing it. So we're going to pray for good weather. We can get out there and help him out and do some things. So mark that on your calendar and plan to do that as well. Let's stand together, and then we will close in song.